And welcome into today's audiocast for Monday, November 12, 2007 from AvWeb, General Aviation's online news service and magazine. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Well, it's true. The next time you find yourself making a trip on a commuter airline, you may or may not find it comforting to know that the pilot in the right seat of your regional jet is not old enough to buy you a beer at the destination airport bar. I set out to see where the bar really is set these days to get a right seat job on a regional airline. And we're speaking today with Jeffrey McNamee. Did I say that right, Jeff?
You sure did.
Of Emory-Riddle Aeronautic University.
That's correct.
Now, Jeff works in the training management at Emory-Riddle at Daytona Beach and is in charge of short-term planning, which essentially involves student instructor pairings for 1,000-plus students for the flight department. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm doing excellently, and yourself?
I'm great. Jeff, we keep hearing there's a pilot shortage on. What are you seeing out there?
Well, I'm seeing a lot of the same thing. Our flight instructor, we see it mostly at the bottom end. Obviously, it's a trickle-down effect. I've seen in the past year, I mean, we've had some people we trained them. We started them as flight instructors. They've been here as long as, I've seen some stay here as long as 4 weeks, and they're often getting a flight instructor job. I was actually performing a check ride about 2 months ago on somebody that had not even received his CFI yet, and he was already offered a job by Mesa Airlines. So we're certainly seeing an unusual dynamic as far as pilot hiring goes. I think a lot of it has stemmed from retirements and hiring freezes over the past 5 years at large airlines, and finally they decided they wanted to expand and replace some retired workers, and so they hired, which brought a lot of them up from the smaller airlines, and then they were short of people, and then they decided to take our guys. And so that's kind of what it's been doing, and it hasn't stopped for a year and a half.
So you guys are having trouble hanging on to instructors, I guess.
Yes, and we've actually recently, this is something new this fall semester, we've instituted retention bonuses for instructors. We've actually instituted up to $3,500 of retention money. It's not paid up front. It's actually paid over the interval of 1 year, but if somebody will sign a contract for 1 year to stick around, we will keep somebody on for as much as $3,500, which is sizable. It's not something, I've been here for almost 7 years. That's not something we've ever done. So we're trying hard to keep people on, and it's paid off so far. We've started to see a little bit of a slowdown in the hiring, but we certainly don't expect it to get any easier anytime soon.
Now, we're hearing that the regional airlines are hiring pilots for a right seat job with as little as a couple of hundred hours.
Probably true, depending on the airline. I've seen people go with as low as 400 hours here. Depending on who you want to go to, some of them will just take commercial multi-engine. I know that is where that has been the bottom end. That's the floor for some airlines. They'll literally take you as minimally qualified, and they'll train you. So there are certainly people that probably have never worked a day in aviation and will go fly in the right seat of a small jet.
So a lot of young pilots are jumping the traditional step of instructing for several years to build time and just going right on in, huh?
Yeah, the idea of somebody spending several years here right now is actually pretty novel. You don't see it at all any longer. When I started here back in 2001, obviously we were here for a while. I would have actually, had I jumped and gone to the airlines, I probably would have been here. By the time I was qualified to go to the airlines, I would have probably been here for about at least a year and a half, if not 2 to 3 years, depending on the airline that I was intending to go work for. So I actually decided against it, but some others did not, and a lot of us did end up staying here for about 2 to 3 years as a flight instructor. Any more, even spending 1 year as a full-time flight instructor is not very common.
Now, what about that college degree? Are they still requiring that?
As far as I know, it's not required, but it's preferred. I don't know too many people that take advantage of that. But as far as I know, a college degree is not required for at least some airlines.
I've heard some rumors that in some university aviation programs, they're hiring students at the end of their sophomore year.
Mm-hmm. I've actually got three instructors working for me. Now, they're part-time instructors, and obviously they're fully qualified, CFI, CFII, and they were fast students as far as training went. You know, they went gotten through their training very quickly. Some of them arrived with advanced ratings, but I've got three instructors on my team right now that aren't old enough to buy beer for me at the end of the day. So that's actually true. I've got three that are currently sophomores, and they're working for me as part-time instructors, full-time students, but they're part-time instructors working about 20 hours a week.
All right, let's say a student gets hired with 2 years of college into a regional job. Is that lack of that four-year degree going to be a roadblock when they get ready to make that next jump?
I'm not really certain. You don't see it very often of somebody foregoing the degree to go to the airline. So I really couldn't tell you. I would imagine that the farther you tried to go, the more of an impediment it would be. But I do know that at the bottom end, keep in mind that a lot of the companies on the low end don't pay very well, so to demand a college degree is probably unreasonable at $20,000 a year.
So that's that part of it hasn't changed then?
No, not really. Recently, it's gotten a little bit better. Having a pilot shortage will make you wake up and offer more money. I mean, you can take a look at our end. I mean, we pay pretty well, but because we've had trouble retaining instructors because they want to go to the airlines, we've instituted retention bonuses. I think airlines have been beefing up pay scales a little bit on the lower end. Most recently, I heard Atlantic Southeast Airlines actually got a pretty sizable pay raise on their bottom end. So, it does look like it'll start to slowly reverse itself, but no, the pay is still not exemplary, not at all.
How long would a young pilot expect to stay in a regional job before having an opportunity to move on up?
Well, it depends on where they want to move. Recently, you've seen a lot of growth in fractional ownership. So you see NetJets and FlexJet and Citation Shares, companies like that have started to sprout up. And that's kind of a second career path for some pilots that go to the airlines. It used to be that you went to, you know, United Express or you went to American Eagle and then you moved on to somebody like American Proper or you went to Continental. Well, now a lot of them will actually leave United Express, so they'll leave Mesa Air Group, for example, and they'll go to fly for Warren Buffett at NetJets. And so that's something that didn't exist even probably 10 years ago on any large scale. And now it's actually a very sizable chunk of general aviation, and it actually pays pretty well now. So it depends. If you wanted to go fly for, let's say, Continental, my brother right now is thinking about applying to Continental. He's been at ExpressJet for almost a year and a half, and if he wanted to go to Continental, he said he would probably need to be at ExpressJet for about another year and a half. So he'd be looking at about 3 to 5 years, depending on how much PIC time they required.
Right.
Sure.
What about the climate in the corporate area?
I'm not as familiar with that. I think a lot of corporate aviation is actually constrained by insurance premiums. They are not allowed to drop their minimums nearly as low as, say, an airline could. So they still require 1,000 hours of multi-engine, 500 hours of turbine PIC, for example. So if you wanted to go fly for, say, Walmart, I don't think it's quite as easily to jump. And a lot of times those jobs require that you know somebody that's actually in the jobs. So a lot of those do depend on networking and things as such. So
right.
That is actually, it's a little harder for me to gauge those, to be perfectly honest with you.
You guys don't do ag training, do you?
We do not. No, we just do professional track, tricycle gear, single and twin engine.
Yeah, I've heard the insurance issue is a big problem in the agriculture area too, right?
I think it's a big problem in flight training as well.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
From what I've understood since I started working here about 6 years ago, their insurance premiums, and we have a good safety record here, our insurance premiums have more than doubled in 6 years.
Now, are you seeing more people go in the commercial route instead of the military to get to their ultimate goal?
I don't see. It's kind of hard to tell from Embry-Riddle because we have a sizable military presence here. So I can't say that I've seen fewer people going to the military, but I would say that it's probably certainly less. I've seen from flight instructors, I've certainly seen less interest in going into the military. Back in 2002 and 2003, you saw a lot of people who actually went to the military because they just wanted to leave flight instruction. They didn't want a job any longer flying a Cessna 172, so they couldn't get a job in an airline, so they went to the military. I'm not seeing any of that any longer. That has completely subsided. So I guess as far as the students go, most of them are on ROTC scholarship down here, so I'm guessing that they're probably not the number of students that's gone probably hasn't changed much, but the number of instructors has gone to pretty much zero.
Well, let's just say a student shows up with a fresh private pilot's license.
Sure.
They don't necessarily want a degree. They just want to get their ratings and go apply for a regional job. What kind of timeline are you looking at, and what does that cost in today's money?
Oh, today's money. I would say it depends on how you do your training, if you're doing it Part 61 or Part 141. If you were to do it, say, Part 61, which is what a fair number of students decide to do, I would probably venture to say that you're going to need around if you're going to build the time, so you probably to get to your commercial certificate, you need the minimum of 250 hours. Most people don't get to it at 250. Usually it takes them to around 275 or 300. And then on top of that, you'll need to do CFI and CFII most likely to be employable. And then you're probably looking at about somewhere between a minimum of probably 300 to 500 hours of flight instruction given in order to qualify for an airline. So the timeline, depending on how much, I guess it would depend on if you had a job and how much time you had to dedicate to flying. If all you were doing was flying, I would say all of that would probably take a year and a half. And then, you know, to get all your certificates take about a year and a half, and then to work would probably take about another 6 months. You'd probably be looking at about 2 years all told, and you'd probably be, I'd probably say somewhere between $40,000 and $50,000 poor.
As far as financing options, do you guys have any tricks of the trade?
Do we have any tricks of the trade here? No, our trick here, at least from Embry-Riddle's perspective, we try to minimize the cost based on curriculum. So we actually design our curricula to be minimum time. We actually provide our training here under Part 142, which is actually an airline-type training, a simulation-based. So we've cut costs that way. Our average student to get to CFI or so, to get through CFII from brand new, is probably looking at around $35,000 to $40,000. So we're able to cut out some costs that way. But as far as financing and tricks go, well, most of them are on student loans. And I don't know if that's a good trick or not. Obviously, if you can save for it and pay for it out of pocket, that's great. But a lot of people don't have those means at their disposal.
And that's Jeffrey McNamee. We appreciate his time today. You can find out more about Embry-Riddle at www.erau.edu. Today's report has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. Comments on today's audiocast welcome. Audio news at AvWeb.com. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb Audio. Thanks for listening.